Oh, I'm on top of the world, mate.
I can imagine. I mean, I just saw all the scenes that were in that ring as we were watching that fight. The emotion was unbelievable. I mean, I can't really describe it, can you?
Yeah, not my most subtle, coolest sort of moments, but listen, it just hit us. You know, the emotions just came out of us, and it was just fantastic, phenomenal, mate, phenomenal.
Absolutely unbelievable, and of course now the WBC World Cruiserweight title is around the waist, over the shoulder of Tony Bellew, and man, who's just absolutely buzzing with this. We'll get back to Tony in just a second. Obviously, David Price with a great victory as well on the night.
Yeah, I'm over the moon with Price. There was a lot of pressure on him. You know, his first fight with your new coach, first fight back in England, first fight in Liverpool for about 3 years. So there's a lot of pressure on him. He could have fought elsewhere, you know, where nobody, you know, not everybody's turning out for him and nobody's really got a spotlight on him. But he chose to box on a massive event in his home city, and I'm really pleased for him. He went out and did what we've been working on, and you know, he's looked really good. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, really, really pleased for him. He's getting back in there and he's getting everything sorted, and to get that victory was just brilliant. What's next for the big man, though?
We're looking at possibly him being on the Joshua bill on June 25th. So he's going to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, and then he'll be back in on Thursday. Back in on Thursday in the gym.
No messing about. Get him straight back in there. Give him a week off and get him straight in there. No messing.
That's it. We've got plenty of work to do with Price, and it's all about keeping the ball rolling. Listen, this man can punch. He can punch for real. He's getting a lot stronger mentally now. He's back to where he needs to be, and it's just going to get better and better for him. You know, and he's great to work with. It's along the lines of, you know, the guys that I've got, he slot into the gym really well. You know, they all listen, they all do what they're told, and we all work together, towards the goals that we've got. And Price is just slotted straight in with him, and he's improving. He's improving fast, and I'm excited about the future with him.
Yeah, he was looking good. Really, really good fight that on Sunday. And heading over again, this entire card, just looking at it, it was brilliant from the undercard, from right that first fight all the way up. And the atmosphere just built and built and built all the way through the night, didn't it? Right to that main event.
The atmosphere was unbelievable. Totally incredible. I've been involved in a lot of fights, and I've walked out in a lot of packed arenas and, you know, football stadiums before. And I'll tell you something, I've never, ever experienced anything like that. When we came out and we were just stood at the end of the tunnel, just about to get onto the pitch, the atmosphere was unreal. When Tony's music came on, the Zed cars, and we walked towards the Gladys Street, and that it was just like a massive wall of people up on that stand. It was just packed, and the noise that were coming from it was unbelievable. I've never known anything like it.
And what was Tony like before that? Because obviously this is something he's been wanting to happen since he began boxing. And I mean, what an incredible night it must have been for him.
Yeah, it was massive, massive pressure on Tony. Because, listen, he's been there as a season ticket holder since he was a little kid. He goes to every single game. And apart from when it comes to the last couple of weeks before a fight, I don't allow him to go to the games. But he's an absolute Everton nut. And the thing is, what I said to him, one of the last things that I said to him, you know, we're talking about this being a dream. It's only a dream if you win, because had he have gone out there and not performed and got beat, then how could he go to that ground knowing that everybody's looking at him, you know, he got beat. But him personally, it's a constant reminder as a bad memory every time walking to a venue that he's been beat. He's always going to remember it. So, it could have been something catastrophic for him, but it wasn't. He performed, and it is a dream. And now, every single time he goes to an Everton game now, he's always gonna think about his greatest night in boxing.
He's gonna be trying to walk in the dressing room every time now, isn't he? I can only imagine he was like it was like a young man on a lot of blue Smarties that day. You know, he was probably bouncing off the walls, wasn't he?
Yeah. He handled it really, really well. You know, we got it into his head. That he's got to be focused on the job at hand. I did say to him, I said, enjoy the ring walk, soak it all up. You know, you can't go against nature. You can't say to him, ignore the, focus on your job. Don't you think about the crowd? This, of course they're going to. So I wanted him to enjoy the ring walk and the crowd, the atmosphere. But then once it was time to go to work, once it became the referee's instructions, the MC's introductions, then I wanted him to be focused on what he's got to do and the job at hand. And he did do that, yeah.
He did really, really well. It was an absolutely cracking fight. And there was that little wobble earlier on, wasn't there? Obviously, the knockdown, and when he rolled over, I was a bit concerned at that point. And when you got him in the corner as well, you did say, you've got greedy at one point. You know, yeah. You've got greedy. Stop trying to entertain this lot. Get out there and win this.
Yeah, listen, it's boxing. Anybody can get hit. Everyone can get hurt. Everyone can get put over. When you're talking about two explosive punches in there, then, it's more likely to happen. But the main, most important thing is when he got put over, he didn't panic. Came back to the corner and I just had a chat with him. I just, asked him how he was first. I just let him get a couple of breaths in, asked him how he was. He said, yeah, he said, got caught with a good shot. It was clear as a day. And I just said to him, I said, no, you got greedy. By saying that, I mean, when sometimes what I was determined for him not to do was when I knew he was going to find Makabu, I knew he was going to be able to unload some shots on Makabu, but Makabu does get hit and he lets you, kind of lulls you into a false sense of security where you think you've got him, and then he goes to work, and he does it in a lot of his fights. And Tony, I didn't mind him exchanging with him and firing, but he had to stay alert and had to think about what's coming back himself, but he didn't in that fight. It was just that focus on what he was doing, and he got greedy with his attacks. And he just went, he switched off and he paid the penalty for it. But, after that, all I wanted him to do for round two was just to be safe. So just be safe, don't get caught and don't take anything big this round. He'll fancy himself to chin him with every shot he lands. So let him load up and let him look for the big bombs.
And that was it, wasn't it? The big bombs were hit.
Yeah, but he got through the second round fine and safe, and then he went to work when he saw the opening in the third, and a world class finish. He hurt him. He looked in his eyes. He knew that he'd got him, but he attacked with shape. It's one thing attacking with power and venom, but you've got to keep your shape and you've got to have balance in you. And he did. So he didn't. He didn't lose his shape, and he got the best out of his punches, and he cleaned him out big time.
And that left hook, oh my word, that was unbelievable.
Yep, I've always said, his left hook is devastating. When he throws it correctly, it is a perfect left hook, and it was phenomenal. But his right hand set up the left hook. He was landing the right hand straight. Normally, Bellew throws quite a looping right hand, but we worked a lot on straightening the right hand for this fight. And he was throwing the right hand straight, right hand left up, right hand left up, when he got him hurt, and he just delayed it and come straight across with the left up. And the way that he snapped his head, and his head just dropped. He was asleep, gone, and thankfully, he was all right after a couple of minutes. But what a finish! What a way to win a world title!
And I mean, the emotion that Tony had afterwards, it was clear to see. But what class he showed afterwards as well, just to make sure that his opponent was okay, and that must be something you're proud of him to have done.
Oh, I'm immensely proud of him. This is Tony Bellew. Listen, he's one of the most passionate, if not the most passionate person I've ever met. He is. That's what he is. He wears his heart on his sleeve. Whereas some of us kind of like keep his passion a little bit in, and we're afraid to express ourselves, he just lets it go. He just lets it flow. And in highly emotionally charged situations like that, he is what he is. And you saw, the minute he knew that Makabu, was in a bad way, he calmed down a little bit, and then he went across and he spoke to him. And what he said there was just beautiful. It was lovely. It was great to hear him say that. But that is Tony Bellew. Before a fight, he wants to bash you up. This is boxing. People go on about, oh, it should be this, it should be that. Listen, this is boxing. You've got to do what is right for you in preparation for fight. Some fighters can smile and be pally-pally with your opponent and touch gloves at every opportunity and be all kind and caring before a fight or during a fight. But you're in there, your man's trying to knock you out. This is not, it's not football, it's not cricket, it's not golf. A man's trying to hurt you in there. So some fighters need to be volatile. Some fighters need to be nasty before a fight. But then as soon as the fight's over, that is Tony Bellew. You know, he cares about his opponents. He cares about people, and he showed that.
And you know what? After seeing all that emotion, it was unbelievable. Seeing how happy Tony was the day after as well. He's got that belt over his shoulder, looking good. And then we see this Instagram video from a certain Mr. David A. I suppose we should address this, really. He's been saying that after he's finished with Shannon Briggs, he's up for it. I mean, what's this all about? What's going on here?
Listen, they've known each other for a long time, and they've sparred in the past before, and it's been sparring that you would definitely want to see. So, you know, it's the two massive characters, the two big punchers, but the two fighters that have been shown to be vulnerable in the past. So, you know, if they want to fight and if it can be done, then let them do it. You know, it is what it is. This is fighting. This is boxing. The thing is, you know, we're not talking about David A. Back when he was at his best as a cruiserweight. We're talking about David A. Now. He hasn't fought for 4 years, and he's fought a couple of guys that we don't, you know, we don't rate, they're not really great opponents. So you can't judge him on what he used to be, you know. You got to judge fighters on what they are now. So on what they are now, then it's a good fight. It's a really good fight. Listen, he can punch. He'll be punching until the day he dies. He can really, really punch. He'll be an old, frail man, and he'll still have this big, booming right hand. So, you know, he's a natural puncher, but also he can be hurt, and Bellew can punch. And if Bellew catches him, Bellew will do him, but vice versa. It's one of those fights, and it could be over in a minute, it could be over in a few rounds. But, you know, one thing's for sure, if them two get it on, then there is no need for judges to be paid, because you don't need them ringside. It won't, you know, it would never go the distance. But it'd be entertaining, and it'd be a shootout. That's guaranteed.
It really
would. You know, I don't know. Will it happen? I don't know. He's talking about fighting. He's fighting Briggs in September. Well, you know, in the meantime, Bellew's got his own WBC world title, and he'll make a defence of that. And then, so, you know, after that, and after Briggs makes his Hay fights Briggs, then, you know, maybe it can happen. But I would imagine that both of them will end up fighting before it happens anyway. So we'll see. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, it's a fight that is a strong possibility, because, you know, it's been brewing for a little while, to be honest.
Hopefully it will happen one day. That'd be absolutely an unbelievable tear-up to watch. It'd be brilliant, that. Dave, I'm going to let you get back to celebrating, because I expect you are still celebrating right now, my friend.
My head's absolutely buzzing. My body's absolutely wrecked. I feel I'm shattered, but my head's absolutely buzzing. So, yeah, I'm still in party mode, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic, mate, and it really, really is. And I think you're becoming like the king of the Sunday night boxing now, in effect. You've had decent results on Sunday night, haven't you?
Yeah.
Been pretty good, yeah, that.
It'll take some beating, that one.
Certainly will. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us, mate. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
John Isherwood on Radio Yorkshire Home Time. He's like Gary Lineker. He's never been sent off.
It's on! It's Rick!
And loves crisps. He just forgot the Model Y.
This is Radio Yorkshire.